My name's Will DeFreeze, and this is the Sunday Scaries Podcast, your cure for the Sunday blues. On today's episode, we're going to talk about long-distance relationships, charcoal drinks, and the absolute worst things to lose when you're drunk. They say distance makes the heart grow fonder, but from my experience, that's not entirely true. Distance is largely more of an inconvenience than anything else. The driving, the FaceTimes, the coordinating, it all adds up to this anxiety-inducing beast that makes you sometimes wonder why things can't just be easier. Admittedly, I just made it through a year of living 3 hours apart from my girlfriend. Too far to drive every weekend, but close enough that you can feel guilty not doing so. Knowing for months beforehand that we were going to do this, it was a dark cloud that hovered over us. How often will we see one another? Who's going to do the majority of the visiting? Am I really going to have to start shopping in the meals for one section at the grocery store again? It's safe to say that we knew it wouldn't be easy. Absence makes the heart grow fonder doesn't take into account not being able to tell the tone of someone's iMessage or what it feels like to not be able to abandon your dinner plans and go on a romantic date all on a whim. Instead, you're faced with watching Netflix alone, spending rushed weekends in cities you're not familiar with, and the inevitable goodbyes that weigh on you. While there are no hard and fast rules for keeping your relationship alive, there are certain actions you can take in order to ease the stress you encounter alone. The first is fairly simple. FaceTime. While yes, the physical touch goes away, the rapport you've built with your counterpart doesn't. You wouldn't just put yourself in a long-distance relationship without knowing it would be worth it in the long run. But you also can't plan for those moments when you just want the comfort of someone sitting next to you in bed. Every single night, whether it's before bed, after you get home from a dinner with friends, or just when you can't sleep, pick up your iPad, your phone, or open your laptop, and just try to FaceTime. I always thought a phone call would be a similar remedy, but the lack of visual stimulation often leaves you distracted, despondent, and generally just feeling meh. Watch them smile, watch them cry, look at them explain their day and pick up on the facial cues that you learned oh so well before distance took you apart. For better or worse, these are your dates now, so pour yourself a glass of cab and pause whatever you're watching on TV. I promise, it can wait. When you're actually together, those rare moments, you have to make sure to embrace it. Make plans to distract you from inevitably having to say goodbye that Sunday before you have to go back to work. What I've found is that the most difficult part isn't the actual distance, it's just the mental games your brain plays with you before you have to say those goodbyes once again. Building up that final hug and kiss before you drive into the distance is natural. You wake up thinking about it. You dread it for the entire hour before it happens. You may even cry as they get further and further away in their rearview mirror. But just know that they get better. Like with anything, repetition leads to expertise. While the first few goodbyes may ruin the rest of your day, they unexplainably become less daunting and more of a regularity, a cost you just naturally incur when the elation of the weekend starts to wear off. And in an effort to make them even less unsettling, the third key is quite possibly the most important. Just constantly plan for the future. The word goodbye inherently feels like there's a hard end to it. No looking back. But before you ever let those words come out of your mouth, you have to have something. Anything on the radar that you can both look forward to. This can be as small as just knowing the next time you'll see one another, as large as a vacation that's on the horizon 2 months away. But sharing that common yearning for doing something together is better than leaving it open-ended and uncertain. It's that uncertainty that makes long distance so difficult, and it's paramount that you establish a plan prior to leaving each other again. Long distance is something that no couple actually wants to do, but more often than not, it's a necessary evil that gets in the way of something amazing. While it often gets harder before it gets easier, make sure you stay focused on the light at the end of the tunnel. After all, if Sam Baldwin and Annie Reid can fall in love from across the country without FaceTime and sleepless in Seattle, how hard can it really be? Thank you. I've become a victim to health trends, and I'm not afraid to admit that. Yes, I've paid $5.99 for maple water at Whole Foods. And yes, I've unfortunately paid $22 for a SoulCycle class just to have the chain smokers play while I pedal my ass off. Am I proud of it? No. But whether these trends benefit me or not, I kind of like the idea of seeing what they're all about. Routine and repetition, while valuable, can also get somewhat redundant at times. Do I want to eat a dry tuna sandwich on wheat for lunch every day? No, that's why I treat myself to a poke bowl every once in a while. I know I can't afford to have one every single day, and I'd probably get mercury poisoning. But a couple times a month are enough to make me forget about the boring lunches I eat most other days. But at the end of the day, some trends freak me out a bit more than others. Particularly charcoal drinks. Recently, while being at an actual Whole Foods looking for something to drink while going furniture shopping, I saw a girl clutching a tote bag and drinking something that looked like, I don't know, black sludge? I squinted in her direction trying to figure out what the hell it was. Honestly, I wasn't sure if I'd ever seen someone drink something that was that dark before, at least not willingly. It wasn't until I went to the drink section that my confusion was cured. It was a charcoal lemonade. Up until this point, charcoal, to me, was just something you grill with or covered those chimney sweeps in Mary Poppins, not something you actually drank. But after a short Google search, I realized that this is something that's actually been going on for a few years now. Apparently, charcoal is something that actually has a lot of benefits. Well, activated charcoal does. It's essentially charcoal that has been heated or treated to increase its absorptive power. From what I can tell, its biggest benefit is that it detoxifies by pulling gross, unwanted toxins from your system. But there are other benefits too. Kidney health, gas, diarrhea, teeth whitening, skin care, sweating, and skin infection are just some of the things that activated charcoal claims to aid in. While I'm not completely sold, there are a few ways you can drink this black stuff. Charcoal water, charcoal lemonades, just like the one I saw, and even craft cocktails made with charcoal as well. It apparently doesn't even taste that much different either, despite how dark or gross looking it may make your drink of choice. At the end of the day, the real question is, can it help a hangover? Well, only kind of. There's a myth out there that it will actually cure your hangover, but that's not entirely true. While charcoal will actually help with other toxins, it doesn't really bind with alcohol, which means that it won't absorb it like a cheeseburger would. Of course, you may ingest some other bad stuff that charcoal will remove from your system when you had a big night out, but you might just be better off drinking some Pedialyte instead. I'm not really sure how old I was. At this point, my mid-20s just kind of seemed like one big blur. After enjoying myself at a craft beer festival, we decided to take the boat we drove over there and head back home. Unfortunately for me, the IPAs I took down kind of ruined my depth perception when trying to untie the boat from the dock. Next thing I knew, I was completely soaked and without a phone. For the next month, I existed without the iPhone that had previously been strapped to me day in and day out. I wore being phoneless almost like a badge of honor. I was off the grid, disconnected from the outside world, and living in the moment. But after that month was over, things started to catch up with me. People couldn't get a hold of me when they needed to, I couldn't receive emails unless I was at a computer, and frankly, I couldn't text certain girls I had my single eye on. I was in dire straits. Well, I finally broke down and got a new one. I wasn't proud of it, but it was what needed to happen. But it also made me think about whether or not losing my phone was the worst case scenario for losing things while under the influence. My answer? I'm not really sure. You see, losing your keys is inconvenient, but not the end of the world. Deep down, you always assume that someone has a spare, or you can call someone to help break into your place. Sure, the dealership may charge you a couple $100s for a new fob, but that's better than paying $1,000 for a brand new iPhone X. On the other hand, you can also lose something a little more personal than your keys. A friend. An actual human being. We've all had those nights when you reluctantly wake up only to think, hey, where the hell did blah 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 go? They could have gone home with a random, gotten arrested, or even worse, hooked up with their ex. When it's all said and done, they can finally charge their phone to call you. There's usually a good story behind it. As long as they get back to you in time for a brunch, you know, just to recap the night with you on the sectional couch where you passed out, it's all fun and games. But perhaps the most anxiety-inducing loss next to your phone is your wallet. Maybe you left your card at the bar the night before, or maybe it fell out of your pocket in Uber, or perhaps you got pickpocketed because you're an easy target. No matter what happened, it's never fun to encounter everything that losing your wallet entails. Calling your bank, making the dreaded trip to get a new driver's license, logging into your bank account app on a Sunday to see if anyone racked up a huge tab on you. It's all absolutely frightening. But when it's all said and done, you do have a couple options. You can call all the establishments you visited the night prior and just pray you only have to call one. You can cancel any and all cards with involvement in the case and just mooch off your friends until further notice. Your best friends will let you Venmo them for some cash to get you by for a few days. Or, if you're really lucky, you can go to the previous night's bar and just put brunch on your still open tab. It's almost like it never happened, right? If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a hungover friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also help this podcast maintain its spot on the iTunes charts, which opens up more opportunities to help us cure our Sunday scaries together. You can also follow along on Twitter, which is @SundayScaries, and Instagram, which is @Sunday.Scaries, or you can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram @WillDeFreeze. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. See you next Sunday.